Cassette number 9, side 1, a treatise on cosmic fire. Continuing section 2, division B, the factor of Manus, on page 374. It should be stated here that a major incarnation is one in which a planetary logos takes some initiation. He may and does pass through many incarnations without taking initiation. When he does take initiation, it is interesting to note that he does so during some incarnation in which he takes a vehicle of etheric matter, as is the case at this time. The logos of our scheme is preparing for initiation, and hence the terrific tests and trials incident to life on our planet during this cycle are easily accounted for. The logos of our scheme, Sanat Kumara, will take a major initiation in the middle of the fifth round, but is preparing for a minor one at this time. The logos of our scheme has been in physical incarnation, having a body of etheric matter, since the middle of the Lemurian root race, and will remain with us until what is called the Judgment Day in the next round. At that point in his career, he will have achieved the necessary vitalization of the particular center which is occupying his attention, will have seen of the travail of his soul in connection with the units of the human hierarchy who go to the composition of this center, and will drop his present form, will turn his attention to another and higher center, and give of his force to the units of a different caliber from another branch of the human hierarchy who respond to the vibration of that center. Page 375. It would be well to enlarge here a little on the connection between Venus and the Earth, which is hinted at in some of the occult books, and is somewhat touched upon in this. I have stated that the interaction between the two schemes is due largely to their positive and negative polarity, and I pointed out that a similar relation underlies the relation of the Pleiades and the seven schemes of our solar system, and also the relation of Sirius and the system itself. This, therefore, sweeps into close interaction three great systems: 1, the system of Sirius; 2, the system of the Pleiades; 3, the system of which our sun is the focal point, making, as we will have noted, a cosmic triangle. Within our system, there are several such triangles, varying at different stages. According to their relation to each other, the differentiated force of the different schemes can pass from scheme to scheme, and thus the units of life on the different rays or streams of force become temporarily intermingled. In all these triangles, cosmic, systemic, planetary, and human, two points of the triangle represent each a different polarity, and one point represents the point of equilibrium, of synthesis or merging. This should be borne in mind in studying both the macrocosmic and the microcosmic centers, for it accounts for diversity in manifestation, in forms, and in quality. A correspondence might here also be pointed out, which may serve to convey light to those who have eyes to see. Page 376. The Venus scheme, being in the fifth round, had the fifth principle of Manus coordinated and developed. The minor four monastic aspects had been synthesized, and the Buddhic aspect was being provided with a means of expression through the medium of the perfected fifth. Our heavenly man, in the fifth round, will have attained a paralleling point in evolution, and the fifth principle will, as stated, be no longer the object of his attention as regards the human units. Five stages of activity mark the development and utilization of the mind principle. There are three stages of acquisition, and two wherein that which has been acquired is used. This is too intricate a calculation for us to enter into here, and it cannot be undertaken except by an initiate, for it involves ability to study the cycles of the earlier solar system, but it might be noted that, judging from the microcosm on the Earth planet, this is just what might be expected. Man developed Manus in this round during the third, fourth, and fifth root races, and utilizes it for the development of the intuition and of the higher consciousness during the sixth and seventh. During an incarnation by a planetary logos in a chain during one round, he demonstrates through his seven centers or globes Manus on three globes and utilizes it for specific purposes on the final two. This is a lesser cycle to that in which we view the seven chains as his seven centers. These words are chosen with care. I say not acquires Manus, he but produces that which is inherent. It must be remembered that just as the planes of a solar system stand for a different purpose, vibrate to a different key, and serve their own specific ends, so do the globes serve an analogous function. A. Globe 1 is that of ultimate abstraction and of origination. It is the initial globe of manifestation. Page 377. B. Globe 2 is the first sheath in which a heavenly man embodies himself. C. Globes 3, 4, 5 are those through which he demonstrates the possession of the monastic principle. D. Globes 6 and 7 are the ones through which he manifests buddhi, through forms built by means of the monastic principle. This can be equally predicated on a larger scale of a chain. An interesting correspondence of a very occult nature can be worked out by the advanced student in connection also with the seven schemes. There are two which may be considered primarily archetypal, causal, or involving abstraction, three in which manas is manifested, and two in which already buddhi is monastically demonstrating. Of these two, Venus is one, and thus we have the three and the two, which make the five schemes of the five kumaras, who are Brahma. Footnote: students must carefully differentiate between the five mind-born sons of Brahma, the five true kumaras and their representatives on our earth planet, those who stand around Sanat Kumara, who may be stated esoterically understood to represent himself. Return to text. Just as Venus is negatively polarized to our earth scheme, so the seven stars of the Pleiades are negatively polarized to our seven schemes. A very pertinent question might here be asked. We might justly inquire, in connection with the point that Venus is negatively polarized, and also that the Pleiades are equally so, why they should be termed negative, if they are the donors and not the receivers, for to be negative is surely to be receptive. This is indeed so, but the question arises in our minds, owing to lack of information and consequent misapprehension. Venus may have had much to do with the impartation of the stimulation which resulted in great events on Earth via the Venus chain of our scheme. But our scheme gave, in a mysterious manner, more than was received, though the gift was not of the same nature. Page 378. The coming in of the Venusian influence to our chain and to our planet, with the subsequent stimulation of certain groups in the fourth creative hierarchy, the human, caused a paralleling event of even greater magnitude in the Venus scheme. This affected the sixth hierarchy, one of the Deva hierarchies, dwelling in the Venus scheme. This stimulation emanated via our sixth chain, or the second according to the angle of vision, and affected a corresponding chain in the Venus scheme. The magnitude of the difference may be seen in the fact that in our case, one globe alone was affected, whereas the influence of our scheme on the Venusian was such that an entire chain was stimulated. This was brought about through the positive polarity of the heavenly man of the earth scheme. Therefore, enlarging the concept, we can note the fact that our heavenly men are the transmitters, via their seven schemes, to the seven stars of the Pleiades. Our solar system is negatively polarized as regards the sun Sirius, which influences our entire system psychically via the three synthesizing schemes, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, the latter, Saturn, being the focal point for the transmission of cosmic manas to the entire seven schemes. 4. Manas and the Earth Chain. We have brought our consideration of our first point, the origin of cosmic and systemic manas, down to certain facts concerning our chain, and have, with the utmost brevity, passed in review the larger aspect of the question. We touched first of all upon the subject of cosmic manas as it concerned our logos and the heavenly men. Then we considered it more specifically in its relation to the individual heavenly men, and finally brought it down to that which more nearly concerns ourselves, manas and the heavenly man of our scheme. Page 379. Having proceeded thus far, we considered the stimulation of manas in our own chain and saw that, in connection with our earth, it came via the Venus chain of our scheme as the result of a stimulation originating in the Venus scheme. Because logoic kundalini had vitalized one of the systemic triangles of force, of which, temporarily, Venus and the earth formed two points of the triangle. This produced the individualization of those, particularly in the human hierarchy, who form a particular center in the body of the planetary logos. A. The Earth chain and the incarnating monads. We have reached, therefore, a point wherein, having cursorily dealt above with the origin of cosmic, systemic, and planetary manas, it is now possible for us to come definitely down to the consideration of our Earth chain within the Earth scheme, and see something of the origin of the monastic principle in the present group of incarnating egos, units of the fourth creative hierarchy. It is necessary here for students to remember that only one group in the fourth hierarchy was affected by the coming in of Manas in the third root race, and that therefore in incarnation on the planet at this time are component parts of the two groups. One group which received the Manasic stimulation during this world period, and another group which received the stimulation during the previous chain. The last named group can be seen incarnating in all those who tread the probationary path, who are counted as the advanced units of the race and considered as the notables among men. Owing to the difference between the two groups, may be traced much of the world unrest. This difference lies in the following factors, which, for purposes of clarity, it might be well to enumerate. Page 380. The fact that each group forms a different center in the body of a heavenly man. The difference in the method of individualization. The different rate of vibration of the two centers. The fact, therefore, that in each chain, the planetary logos takes a different initiation, affecting different centers, and so bringing into manifestation different lesser entities. Students, when considering these things, need to view the matter from the following angles, some quite possible lines of approach for us, others which we are only capable as yet of dimly anticipating. The occult fact, as stated by the English poet, Pope, the proper study of mankind is man, is embodied in the investigation of all these the cosmic angle. This involves the study of the place of the solar logos within his greater sphere, the study of extra-systemic psychology and astronomy, and the consideration of the relation existing between our system and other constellations, and of our path in the vast arc of the heavens. It bears on the relation of the various suns with their circulating attendants and of the planets with each other. It concerns the study of their individual polarization and their interaction with their polar opposites. It will lead the student into regions of logical speculation, into the study of cosmic electricity and the universal law of attraction, and is as yet much beyond the comprehension of even the most advanced students at this time, and will only become a science reduced to form and textbook, if I might so express it, during the final part of the next round. The systemic angle. This deals with the place of the heavenly men within the body logoic, their mutual interplay, and their rational interdependence, and with the cycles wherein each in turn, or in dual formation, is the recipient of logoic force. Page 381. It necessitates the study of the solar system as a unit, of the astronomical and orbital relation of the sun to the planets. The systemic triangles will eventually become a subject of popular speculation, then of investigation, of scientific demonstration, and finally be known to be proved and authenticated fact, but the time is not yet. The different polarities of the schemes will be studied, and information that is now imparted only to initiates of the third initiation will eventually become exoteric. In due course of time, systemic information along the lines of A. The vitalization of the schemes, B. Interaction between two schemes, C. The periods of incarnation of a planetary logos on the physical plane, D. The initiation of the planetary logos, will be reduced to law and order. As yet, but dim speculations and hints that appeal only to the spiritual and the intuitive are in any way possible. The early part of the next round will see more widespread knowledge and interest in this matter. The planetary angle. This point of view concerns itself with the history of the individual scheme and with the consciousness and evolution of some particular heavenly man. The student, in studying along these lines, must endeavor to get some grasp of the scheme as a unit, as a body corporate, with its 7 centers and 49 globes, and with the triangle formed between them. Separate chains are either the object of planetary stimulation, the sphere of the incarnation of a planetary logos, emerging into objectivity, manifesting, gradually entering into obscurity. Page 382. This point of view is as yet impossible for the average thinker, for it involves an expansion of consciousness unattainable by man. Nevertheless, the endeavor to comprehend serves a useful purpose, for it sets a goal for man and enables him to enlarge his present concept. The chain angle. This brings the whole idea more within the range of possibility and has already been indicated to students in Volume 2 of The Secret Doctrine. The student is narrowed down to the contemplation of the seven globes of the chain of which he is a component, though microscopic part. He has for investigation the globes as seen in time, with their mutual interplay. He has for study the part each one may be playing in the great cycle of a heavenly man. For instance, in the present earth chain, which concerns us the most nearly, the fourth globe is of paramount interest, inasmuch as it is the physical plane vehicle for a heavenly man in dense objective incarnation. Yet it must not be forgotten that though manifesting thus objectively, he embodies in totality the chain and the scheme. The idea may be clarified for the student if it is stated that a scheme in its totality corresponds to the monad or to the monadic auric egg in connection with a human being and his 49 cycles. A chain in its totality corresponds to the body egoic of a human being, to the causal body with its seven great cycles mentioned elsewhere in these pages and hinted at in certain occult books. Footnote, chain, a series of seven globes or worlds which form the field of evolution during the planetary cycle or manvantara. The first three of these globes, generally known as A, B, and C, form a descending arc, the densest physical matter of the descent being reached in the fourth globe, D, of which our Earth is an instance. The fifth globe, E, on the ascending arc, correspondence to C on the descending arc, usually belongs to the astral plane, and the sixth and seventh, F and G, correspondence to B and A on the descending arc, to the rupa and arupa levels of the mental plane. These, therefore, are invisible to ordinary sight. Return to text. Page 383. A globe with its seven races corresponds to a particular series of incarnations in connection with a man, incarnate or discarnate, for all globes are not on physical levels. A physical globe in a chain corresponds to a particular physical incarnation of a man. The planetary logos takes physical form in his planet and is its life and works out his purposes. A root race simply is analogous to the seven parts, as Shakespeare phrases it, as played by the midget man. In a root race, a heavenly man is simply living out his life, working through some experience in the great work of developing buddhi or corporate action, for buddhi is the unifying principle of groups. And in the process of experiencing and developing, he sweeps into his vibratory capacity all the cells in his body. In the case of a human being, the cells in his body, the material cells, are involutionary lives, animated by the third logos, cooperating with the second logos. In the case of a planetary logos, the cells in his body are evolutionary lives, deva and human units, animated by the life of the second logos, cooperating with the first logos, and utilizing the activities of the third logos for purposes of manifestation. Having pointed out these things, the place the Earth chain and globe play in the evolution of the planetary logos of the Earth scheme should be clearer to the student. The wheel turns and in its turning sweeps into objectivity one of its seven globes, or brings into manifestation on the physical plane that great entity whose life animates the whole scheme. It must be borne in mind that just as man is handicapped by his physical body and finds himself unable to express through it the entire content of his egoic consciousness, so a heavenly man, when taking to himself a dense physical vehicle in any particular chain, is also handicapped and is unable to express in perfection on the globe the full beauty of his life or the splendor of his manifesting consciousness. Page 384. It might here be stated in connection with the planetary logos of our scheme that A, he is in physical incarnation. B, he is midway through his career upon the cosmic path of initiation and consequently is to take the fourth initiation in this chain. Well may this globe therefore be considered the globe of sorrow and of pain, for through it our planetary logos is undergoing that which the mystic calls the crucifixion. C, the cells in his body, those cells through which he feels and senses and experiences, are in this world period rent by pain and suffering, for his is the consciousness at the center of the body, and theirs is the capacity to suffer, so that by means of them he may learn the meaning of systemic dispassion, be dissociated from all forms and material substance, and upon the cross of matter eventually find liberation and the freedom of the spirit. The same equally can be predicated of a solar logos with the following interesting sequence carefully borne in mind. The solar logos has for objective 9 initiations, the third cosmic initiation being his goal. Our planetary logos has for objective 7 initiations, the second cosmic initiation being his goal. Nan has for objective 5 initiations, the first cosmic initiation being his goal. Page 385 is a chart and is deleted. Page 386. If we link this up with that earlier imparted concerning initiation and the Sun Sirius, we will have a clue to the triple cosmic path. B, the fourth kingdom and the hierarchy of the planet. Certain facts have already been grasped and realized by the average occult student who has been pondering this teaching with care. He is aware that the juncture of spirit-matter and mind, or manas, was effected during the third root race, and that the definitely human family became present upon Earth from that date. He knows that this was brought about by the coming, in bodily presence, of certain great entities, and he has learned that these entities came from the Venusian chain, that they achieved the necessary juncture, undertook the government of the planet, founded the occult hierarchy, and that, though some remain with the chain, the remainder have returned to their originating source. This, in many ways, sums up the totality of the present knowledge. Let us briefly enlarge upon it, correct certain erroneous interpretations, and ascertain one or two new facts. We might tabulate these as follows. First, it should be borne in mind by the occult student that A, this advent signalized the taking of a physical vehicle by the planetary logos and was literally the coming of the avatar. B, that this advent was brought about by a definite systemic alignment which involved the Venus scheme of the system, the Venus chain of the Earth scheme, the Venus globe of the Earth chain. C, that the planetary logos did not come from the Venus scheme, but from the Venus chain of his own scheme, the Earth scheme. Owing to systemic alignment, logoic kundalini could flow through a certain triangle of which two points were Venus and the Earth. This caused an acceleration of vibration and enabled the heavenly man of our scheme to take a minor initiation and to set about his preparations for a major initiation. Page 387. Next, it should also be remembered that in considering this matter, we must be careful to view it not only as it affects our own globe and its present humanity, but from the systemic and cosmic point of view, or from the angle of its importance to a planetary logos and a solar logos. Hence, it is a fact that this event was not only the result of the taking of a minor initiation by our Earth logos, but in the Venus scheme it was signalized by the taking of a major initiation by the Venusian planetary logos on his fifth chain. In connection with the solar logos, it followed upon the stimulation of one of his centers and from the geometrical progression of the fire through the earlier mentioned triangle. It has been stated that 104 Kumaras came from Venus to the Earth. Literally, the figure is 105 when the synthesizing unit, the Lord of the World himself, is counted as one. There remain still with him the three Buddhas of activity. I would call attention to the dual significance of that name, Buddha of activity, bearing out, as it does, the reality of the fact that entities at their stage of evolution are active love wisdom and embody in themselves the two aspects. The three Buddhas of activity have a correspondence to the three persons of the Trinity. These entities are divided into three groups of 35 each, and in themselves embody the three major centers of the planetary logos, those three groups which we know as the three departments, for it should be emphasized that each department forms a center. Page 388. A. The head center, the ruling department. B. The heart center, the teaching department. C. The throat center, the Mahachohan's department. This center synthesizes the lesser four, just as the third ray synthesizes the minor four. These kumaras, or their present substitutes, can also be divided into the seven groups which correspond to the seven rays, and are in themselves the life of the center for which they stand. 15, therefore, of these entities, again the 10 and the 5, form a center in the body of the planetary logos, and the three kumaras about whom we are told, who in themselves are fivefold, making the 15, are the entifying lives of the particular center which is involved in the coming initiation of the heavenly man, and to which the human units at this time and during this great cycle belong. Another fact that should be noted about these great beings is that when viewed in their seven groups, they form A. focal points for the force or influence emanating from the other solar centers or schemes. B. the seven divisions of the occult hierarchy. They exist, as does the heavenly man himself, in etheric matter, and are literally great wheels or centers of living fire, manasic and electric fire. They vitalize the body of the heavenly man and hold all together as an objective whole. They make a planetary triangle within the chain, and each of them vitalizes one globe. It is not permitted at this stage to state for exoteric publication which ray or logoic emanation is embodied by our planetary logos. Which center in the solar system is called the Earth scheme? Which scheme is our polar opposite, or which heavenly man is most closely allied to ours? Which particular center in the body of the planetary logos he is at present endeavoring to vitalize? Page 389. These points are, as may be inferred, too dangerous to impart, and those students whose intuition suffices to attain the information will see for themselves the necessity for silence. C. A prophecy. We might now, prior to continuing with our subject, name the different chains of the Earth scheme. We must bear carefully in mind the fact that these are simply names affixed to the chains and globes for the sake of clarity. As this subject is more widely studied, it will inevitably be found advisable to call the chains by their numbers and to drop the names as at present used. 1. Neptune. 2. Venus. 3. Saturn. 4. Earth. 5. Mercury. 6. Mars. 7. Jupiter. It is necessary here to take the opportunity to sound a note of warning to students in connection with the charts which have been inserted in the treatise. They depict only one cycle in logoic evolution and cover only the present greater period in the working out of which we are engaged. They might be roughly described as embracing that period in the system which began for us in the middle of the third root race of this round and continues until the period called the judgment in the coming fifth round, page 390. When that time comes, our planetary logos will have attained the initiation which is his present goal. The fifth round of the Venusian scheme will be closing, and the Venus scheme will begin to pass into obscuration preparatory to transferring her life to the synthesizing planet with which she is connected. Mercury will be reaching the apotheosis of achievement, and with Mars and the Earth will form a systemic triangle. We are here speaking of schemes and not of chains. We must recognize another triangle within the Earth scheme of the chains called the Earth chain, the Venus chain, and the Mercurian chain. But this triangle entirely concerns the centers of the planetary logos of our scheme. A systemic formation of great importance in the next round should be pointed out, which will bring three schemes, the Earth scheme, Mars, Mercury, into such a position in relation to each other that the following results will eventuate. 1. A systemic triangle will be formed. 2. Logoic kundalini will circulate freely between these three points. 3. A certain great logoic center will be vitalized, and the attention of logoic kundalini will pass from the present triangle in process of forming, the Earth, Venus, and a scheme whose name it is advisable to withhold, to the other. For an entirely new group of human beings will sweep into incarnation in our Earth scheme. 3/5 of the present humanity, being on the probationary path or the path of initiation at that time, will have their center of consciousness definitely on the mental plane, whilst 2/5 will remain focused on the astral. Page 391. These 2/5 will pass into temporary pralaya, preparatory to their transference to another scheme, as the Earth scheme will no longer provide for them an adequate place of nurture. 5. Entities will come in from Mars to the Earth scheme and will there find their necessary field of endeavor. 6. Mercurian life will begin to synthesize and to be transferred to its synthesizing planet. In the case of Mercury, this synthesizing planet is not Saturn, but one of the other two higher major centers. 7. The judgment day in the 5th round, or the point of attainment of our heavenly man, will see a period of planetary strife on mental levels which will cause the present world unrest to seem as nothing. As pointed out earlier, this present struggle has been to test the ability of the entities within the present human forms to appreciate their mental forces and, through the power of mind, to transcend feeling or pain. The struggle in the 5th round will be between higher and lower mind, and the battleground will be the causal body. Footnote: the causal body. This influence or force or result or whatever it may be called of the antecedent actions of man forms, as it were, a seed from which germinates the plant, yielding good or bad fruit to be eaten by him during his subsequent existence. This seed is technically called the karana sarira, the causal body, as it is the cause of man's enjoyment or suffering. This karana sarira is composed of the 5th kosa of man and adheres to the soul so long as the soul remains enveloped in the gross or subtle body, and vanishes entirely when the soul extricates itself from the trammels of the said two bodies, for then the soul attains its primeval purity and burns up, as it were, every trace of its combination with the body, including this causal body, karana sarira. This happens when the soul is prepared for final emancipation, moksha. Till then, of course, the karana sarira, the seed, the result of prior actions, remains effective and asserts a strong controlling influence over man's actions. From The Theosophist, Volume 7, Edition 3, page 59. Return to text. The struggle now being waged on the planet is between a few egos, or the leaders of the many races who are necessarily in place and position owing to their egoic polarization, and many personalities who are swept into the vortex through group association. It is necessarily terrific and forces the destruction of the form. The struggle in the 5th round, being on mental levels, will be between egos and egoic groups, each working consciously and with intellectual application to bring about certain group results. It will result in the triumph, the ultimate triumph, of spirit over matter, in the driving out of certain groups as yet unable to shake themselves free from the trammels of matter, and who prefer captivity to the life of the spirit. It will mark the beginning of the obscuration of our scheme and the gradual passing into pralaya during the remaining 2.5 rounds of our entire 7 chains. It is an interesting occult fact that our Earth should now be in her 5th round and paralleling the Venusian scheme, but the moon chain of our scheme saw a period of temporary retardation of the evolutionary process of our heavenly man. It resulted in a temporary slowing down of his activities and caused lost time, if such an expression might reverently be permitted. The lords of the dark face, or the inherent forces of matter, for a time achieve success, and only the 5th round of our chain will see their ultimate defeat. The Venusian scheme also had its battleground, but the planetary logos of that scheme overcame the antagonistic forces, triumphed over material forms, and was consequently in a position, when the right time came, to apply the needed stimulation or an increased fiery vibration to our Earth scheme. Page 393. The fact that outside aid was called in during the 3rd root race of this chain, and that the evolution of Manas brought about the individualization in physical form of the avatar, needs to be pondered on. The divine Manasaputra, the lord of the world, took form himself through the driving impulse of Manas inherent in his nature, and in some mysterious way this was aided by another heavenly man of another scheme. His cooperation was required. D. Summation. We have been studying the origin of Manas, and we saw first that it is the active will intelligently applied of an entity, and then that this active intelligent will affects all lesser lives in cyclic evolution within the body of that particular actively willing existence. This is true of all beings from the Logos downwards. Perhaps in summing up, it might be expressed thus. The originating source of manasic activity in a solar system is that great cosmic entity who embodies our solar logos as a center in his body, along with six other solar logoi who are, in their totality, his seven centers. The originating source of manasic activity in the planetary schemes is that cosmic entity we call the solar logos. He is the active directing intelligence who is working with definite purpose through his seven centers. The originating source of the manasic principle in a planetary scheme is that lesser cosmic entity whom we call a planetary logos. He works through his seven chains, as does the logos through his seven planetary centers. It is interesting here to note that when the solar logos is being manasically impelled to work out some purpose of his greatest source, the one about whom naught may be said, he may cause a vivification in one or other of his centers according to the purpose in view. This occurred in the forming of the triangle of which Earth and Venus are two points, and, affecting the heavenly men of these two schemes, stimulated them to take initiation and led the planetary logos of our scheme to form a lesser triangle within his sphere of activity, which triangle eventuated in his taking a lesser initiation and in the manasic impregnation of animal man. Page 394. Thus were swept into objective activity that group of monads who go to the composition of a particular center. Similarly and microcosmically, a human being is the manasic incentive and the origin of active intelligent will to all the cells within his threefold body, astral, mental, and physical. His is the directing intelligence, and his the source of all action and endeavor within his periphery, and, like his greater corresponding spheres, a solar logos and a planetary logos, he works through seven centers. Thus we have traced the origin of Manas as far as it is possible to do at this time. The mystery of Manas is hidden in existence itself, and holds the secret of life and conceals and veils those entities whose outstanding quality and characteristic it is. To the life of that little entity we call an atom in the physical body of a man, the thinker in the causal body, his greater directing intelligence, is as obscure and unknown as the logos is to the thinker, man, himself. The analogy is nevertheless accurate. Footnote. Forms. The Atharva Veda, as the summation, instructs us in the principle which equally underlie the methods of the world process and of the atom process, a world in miniature. Whether world process or atom process depends on the speaker and his point of view. As every mantra of this Veda reflects the operations of the world process, so does it reveal to us cognition within cognition, memory within memory, power within power, world within world, fact within fact, action within action, duty within duty, sin within sin, individuality within individuality, ascending and descending from every point in space, endlessly, ceaselessly. Atoms make up molecules, molecules compounds, compounds cells, cells tissues, tissues organs, organs bodies, bodies communities, communities classes and races, classes and races kingdoms. Kingdoms of many grades and varied linkings make up a planet. Planets make up a solar system. The solar system's a vaster system, and so on, unending. Nowhere is found simplicity indivisible. Nowhere complexity final. All is relative. From Pranava Vada, pages 334 to 335. Return to text. Man's physical body, for instance, considering it as a corporate whole composed of many lesser lives, suffers or prospers as its directing intelligence acts with wisdom, love, or otherwise. Page 395. The monastic principle actuates all that occurs within the man's aura, and he suffers or he makes progress according to the application of that principle. So, reverently, may the same be said of the body of the solar logos as system, and so may it be said of the planetary logos and his scheme. Roman numeral 2, the position of Manas. 1. Manas and Karma. Having seen that Manas is the intelligent purpose of some being working out in active objectivity, and having touched upon the interrelation existing between certain of these entities, it may now be possible to vision, even if somewhat cursorily and dimly, the true position of the monastic principle in all three cases. The whole mystery of this principle is hidden in two fundamentals. The mystery of the resolution of the six-pointed star into the five-pointed star. Footnote. It might be of interest to note the correspondences between this six forces and the Shaktis of the Hindu philosophy. The secret doctrine says that the six are the six forces of nature. What are these six forces? A. They are types of energy. B. They are the dynamic quality or characteristic of a planetary logos. C. They are the life force of a heavenly man directed in a certain direction. These Shaktis are as follows. 1. Para-Shakti, literally the supreme force, energy, and radiation in and from substance. 2. Nana-Shakti, the force of intellect or mind. 3. Ikcha-Shakti, the power of will or force in producing manifestation. 4. Kriya-Shakti, the force which materializes the ideal. 5. Kundalini-Shakti, the force which adjusts internal relations to the external. 6. Mantrika Shakti, the force latent in sound, speech, and music. These six are synthesized by their primary, the seventh. The secret doctrine says that it is on the hierarchies and the correct number of these entities that the mystery of the universe is built. 10, the line and the circle, the symbol of the heavenly men. The 10 are the Arupa universe. The 10 are manifested existence. The 10 are sum total. 6. The six-pointed star, the subjective life and the objective form overshadowed by spirit. The 6 are the six forces of nature, the 6 heavenly men, the 6 planes, force or energy, matter or substance, and spirit. The 6 are the double triangle. The 6 are the symbol of objectivity. They are the deva aspect of manifestation. 5. This is the pentagon, the makara, the five-pointed star. 5 is the symbol of a planetary logos. 5 is the symbol of the microcosm. 5 is the symbol of creation. It is the second and the third logos united in evolution. In the merging of the 5 and the 6, you have the totality of manifestation, the male and female blended in the divine hermaphrodite. Summing up, the first order, the essential lives, spirit, the self. The sixth order, the objective form, matter, the not-self. The fifth order, intelligence, manas, the relation between. From The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2. Return to text. End of Side 1, Cassette Number 9, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 396. Continued on Side 2. Side 2, Cassette Number 9, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing Section 2, Division B, The Factor of Manas, on page 396. The mystery of the Lords of Karma, who are in themselves the sole recipients of the mind purposes of that cosmic entity, who enfolds our solar logos within his consciousness. When, therefore, the esoteric side of astrology and of mystical geometry has been studied, and alliance has been made between these two sciences, a flood of light will be thrown upon this matter of the intelligent principle, when the inner workings of the law of cause and effect, the law whereby the Lipika lords govern all their action, is better comprehended, then and then only will the sons of men be able to study with profit the place of Manas in the evolutionary scheme. At the present time, it is not possible to do more than point out the direction of the path which must be trodden before this abstruse matter can be made clear, and to indicate certain lines of investigation which might, if strenuously and scientifically followed, yield to the student a rich reward of knowledge. Page 397. Until the intuition is better developed in the average man, the very principle of manas itself forms a barrier to its due understanding. 2. Manas and karmic purpose. If it is realized by the student that manas and intelligent purpose are practically synonymous terms, it will be immediately apparent that karma and the activities of the Lipika lords will be involved in the matter. It will also be apparent that only as the lower mind is transmuted into the abstract or higher mind and from thence into the intuition will man be able to understand the significance of manas. We may perhaps ask why this must be so. Surely it is because the abstract mind is the agent on cosmic levels whereby the entity concerned formulates his plans and purposes. These plans and purposes, conceived of in the abstract mind, in due course of evolution, crystallize into concrete form by means of the concrete mind. What we call the archetypal plane in connection with the logos, the plane whereon he forms his ideals, his aspirations, and his abstract conceptions, is the logoic correspondence to the atomic abstract levels of the mental plane, from whence are initiated the impulses and purposes of the spirit in man, those purposes which eventually force him into an objective form, thus paralleling logoic manifestation. First the abstract concept, then the medium provided for the manifestation in form, and finally that form itself. Such is the process for gods and for men, and in it is hidden the mystery of mind and of its place in evolution. For the sake of clarity, let us take the microcosm for momentary study. It should be realized by all students that man is spirit, or the self, working through matter, or the not-self, by means of the intelligence or manas, and it should also be realized that the statement of this fact, which is equally true of a solar logos, a heavenly man, and a human being, involves the admission of certain deductions based on manifestation itself. Page 398. One of these deductions is that by means of this principle of manas, form is built. Therefore, the whole subject of the builders has to be studied, those entities who are the embodiment of universal mind, who are the animating lives within the form, and who are the divine manasaputras in their comprehensive totality. In the occult realization of this lies hid the secret of the close relationship between man and the deva evolution, man being the repository, through the heavenly man of whose body he forms a part, of the purpose of the logos, and the devas in all their higher grades being the cohesive attractive factor which manipulates matter and which molds it into shape. The two are partners, indispensable to each other, and without the two working in close cooperation, this objective solar system would immediately disintegrate, just as man's dense and etheric bodies disintegrate when the spirit withdraws and the builders cease their work. Three hierarchies in particular are concerned with objective manifestation in etheric matter: the fourth, or strictly human hierarchy, and the fifth and sixth, or the deva hierarchies. The other hierarchies fulfill other purposes connected with the life of the spirit in the higher forms in the cosmic ethers, but in connection with our present subject, these three hierarchies work on the lower levels of the cosmic physical plane, the subplanes of which we call the mental, astral, and physical planes. When the five and the four are perfectly blended, we shall have achieved the nine of a major initiation, and when the six is added, we shall have the resolution into one of the groups embodied by a kumara, as has been hinted earlier. Page 399. This marks the resolution of the six-pointed star finally into the five-pointed star. This is a great mystery and concerns primarily the heavenly man of our scheme and only incidentally the groups within his body of etheric manifestation. It will therefore be apparent that if all manifestation is the embodiment in form of a cosmic conception and the working out of it in concrete shape, manas or intelligence is a basic factor of the process and the means whereby the link is made between the abstract and the concrete. This is already realized to be true in connection with man, and it is equally true of cosmic entities. As man progresses towards the heart of the mystery, he awakens to a realization that the aim of evolution for him is to build consciously the channel between the levels which are to him the planes of the abstract or of the ideal, and the concrete ones whereon he normally functions. This connecting channel has been inadequately called and is literally the path itself. He builds it by means of the monastic principle consciously applied, by the process of transcending the karmic limitations of the three lower planes, through the method of dominating matter or the personality, considering it as the not-self, through the expansion of his consciousness through graded steps until it includes the planes he seeks to reach, and thereby demonstrating the truth of the statement that in order to tread the path, he must become that path itself, and the accuracy of the occult truth that the antiskarana is itself but illusion. Ponder on this, for it carries illumination for those who have eyes to see. In the process of treading that path and of achieving the goal, man is resolved into the five-pointed star, finally into the triangle of spirit. Between these two stages is a mysterious esoteric stage wherein he is resolved into the four, not this time the four of the lower quaternary, but a higher four. Page 400. He becomes part of the consciousness of that occult group hinted at in various places, which stands next to the three logoi, the four great maharajas, the dispensers of karma, the repositories of cosmic purpose, who are reflected, but only reflected, in the logoi quaternary, or in those four heavenly men who embody, with their synthesizing third, logoic manas. These four, with the synthesizing one, are in themselves the sum total of manas, the Brahma aspect, or intelligence in activity. Karma works through manas, and only as a six-pointed star, or the sum total of concrete mind in its various divisions, becomes the five-pointed star, or the synthesis of the lower into the abstract or higher, is the transmutation into the three, or the spiritual triad, made possible via the four, or the formless repositories of karmic purpose. Thus is liberation achieved, thus is man set free, and the microcosm attains being without the necessity of form-taking. A hint here in connection with the microcosm may help. When the microcosm has transcended the three worlds of matter and has become the five-pointed star, he passes into the consciousness of the monad, or pure spirit, via the fourth plane of buddhi. For him, the buddhic plane is the plane of karmic correspondence. On it, he enters into the sphere of conscious cooperation in the working out of karma for a heavenly man, having completely worked out his personal karma in the lower three spheres. The student whose intuition suffices can work out the planes which correspond to the buddhic plane for a heavenly man and for a solar logos. This will only be possible if the concept is extended to cosmic levels and beyond the systemic. Through the ideas here imparted, it may be possible for the student to think out for himself some aspects of the place of manas in cosmic evolution. Page 401. It necessitates a somewhat synthetic viewpoint and the steady holding of the thought of purpose in all activity, whether cosmic, systemic, planetary, or microcosmic. It is the fire of divine impulse permeating all forms and driving those forms to certain action and achievement. The fire of matter, earlier dealt with, is the dynamic fire of motion, which keeps in activity each atom of matter. The fire of mind is the coherent impulse and purpose driving the forms, built up of active matter, in a specific direction and along certain destined paths. It is consequently karmic impulse, originating cause and operating will. It is likewise the result or the effect of this action in time, and only as the triad comes into play via the esoteric four are the fires of both mind and matter burnt out and the fire of spirit set free. Roman numeral 3. The present stage of monastic development in the three groups. Literally, should we paraphrase this sentence, we might express it in the form of an inquiry as to the point attained in the active working out of the purposes of the great entities involved in cosmic and systemic manifestation. We might also inquire if the intelligent will of the cosmic logos and of the solar logos, and equally within the system of the different planetary logoi, proceeded satisfactorily to a stage where it can be both appreciated and somewhat comprehended. These thoughts are involved in the consideration of this point and open up for us much of very real interest. It should here be pointed out that the monastic principle, whether cosmic, systemic, or human, manifests in five ways, is transmuted into wisdom after its fivefold manifestation, and eventually is resolved into pure will or power. Herein lies the clue. All the objective display we see around us in connection with the heavenly men and with the cells of their bodies lies hidden in this, page 402. Herein may be found the mystery of the five Kumaras who are awaiting the final resolution, and herein is secreted the knowledge of divine alchemy, which is based on the five elements and is concerned with their transformation into a primal element through the medium of an intermediate stage. 1. In the planets. Occult students need, in considering these points, to remember very clearly the distinction between transmutation and the final resolution, between the process of transforming the five elements, esoterically understood, and the final resolution of the transmuted essences into their synthesis. This has a vital bearing upon our subject, for resolution is as yet by no means possible, and the process of transmutation is only just beginning in the majority of cases. In studying these subjects, we have necessarily to confine ourselves to the heavenly men, for the human units, as cells in their body, are of course included in all that is posited about them, and until it is known which cosmic logos recognizes our solar logos as a center in his body, and which six other systems are affiliated with ours, it will not be possible to touch upon the systemic stage of monastic development. But in connection with the heavenly men, certain facts are possible of theoretical comprehension, even though not as yet demonstrable to the scientific mind. We will, as usual, tabulate our premises and thus keep clearly in mind and visualized the points under investigation. First, it might first be said that the third aspect, combined with the second, or Brahma and Vishnu allied, go to the totality of the divine Manasaputras. They are will utilizing matter, or active intelligent substance, in order to demonstrate love-wisdom. All this is based on purpose and has causation as a fundamental. This Brahma aspect is fivefold, and with the Vishnu aspect makes the six, or the pentagon, having Mahadeva, or will, in the center of all manifestation, page 403. Second, this fivefold Brahma aspect, or the five Kumaras, are in full manifestation, and with the reflection of the other two aspects, make the seven of our manifested system. Third, Mercury and Venus are in process of transmutation, and the monastic principle in both these schemes, having reached a high stage of development, is being transmuted into love-wisdom. When three-fifths of the units, deva and human, that go to the composition of the vehicles of any planetary logos are entering upon the path, then the process of transmutation is entered upon. The faculty of mind is then an instrument for creative use, and not the slayer of the real, and a barrier to the free life of the spirit. Again, it must be noted that Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Vulcan are as yet developing Manas, and the stage achieved in each varies and is not for exoteric publication. The heavenly men of these schemes have not yet succeeded in bringing their bodies to the stage where transmutation on a large scale is possible. They are approaching it, and when the necessary three-fifths is reached, then they will begin to transmute on a larger scale. The Earth scheme has about one-fifth in process of transmutation in one or other of the globes at this time, and Vulcan has very nearly two-fifths. We might here point out that though we are concerned primarily with Manas in the human cells in the body of a planetary logos, yet we must remember that the Deva units in some schemes preponderate. Although from the standpoint of a human being, the devas are in no way considered as coming under the influence of manas, as we understand it, yet from another angle, they are manas itself, the active creative force, the fifth and the sixth hierarchies in full display. Page 404. We should ponder upon the relationship, and necessarily close relationship, between the fifth deva hierarchy and the fifth logoic principle. And we should also bear in mind that, viewing the whole matter from the angle of vision of a heavenly man, the devas are a corporate part of his nature, and he is a Manasaputra, a creative builder and the fivefold aspect of Brahma. The sum total of manas is pure deva essence, and it is only as union is made between this fivefold third aspect and the other two aspects that what we understand as man, whether heavenly man or human, comes into being. The devas are united with these other two factors, and the result is A, a solar logos, B, a heavenly man, C, a human being. This is a great mystery and is allied to the mystery of electricity, or of phohatic life, which HBB refers to. The messengers, the builders, the devas are flaming fire, radiant electric matter, and only in time and space, only during manifestation, and only through the cycles of objectivity, is such an entity as man possible, or can a heavenly man come into existence. Outside a solar ring pass knot, for instance, and as far as our evolution is concerned, we have radiant electric substance, active intelligent ether, ensouled by the deva evolution. Footnote. Petris. What I call spiritual ideal constitution is what is known as swarga in our Sanskrit works, and the entities that are functioning there are called the Petris, which of course means fathers. These Petris are often heard of in a sort of antithetical way to the devas in our Puranas, and this has led some of our Hindus, many theosophists included, to think that the Petris and devas are in two distinct spheres of life. Now, Petris and devas always exist together, the devas giving the consciousness and the Petris forming the body. The two are relative terms. If the Petris be water, the devas are the fire in the water. If the Petris be fire, the devas are the flame in that fire. If the Petris be the flame, the devas are the conscious principle that actuates the flame and gives to the flame the power of illumining the world and making it exist as a factor of our consciousness. From the highest to the lowest plane of life, the Petris furnish the objective aspect and the devas the subjective aspect, and life itself is a stream that forms the middle line. When instead of three lokas, the cosmos is divided more accurately into seven lokas, you may assort the three higher lokas to the devas, the three lower to the Petris, and the middle to the life stream, which may be conceived as the point in which the deva essence is changed into Petric essence, or the no loka is made fit to appear as a loka down below, or the unmanifested becomes the manifested. From Some Thoughts on the Gita, page 56. Return to text. These work blindly and under the laws of cosmic electricity, page 405. We must differentiate with care between cosmic electricity and the electrical akasha of the system, which is electrical substance confined and brought under another set of laws through the instrumentality of another factor, that of pure spirit. Outside the ring pass knot, we have that abstraction which we call pure spirit. This pure spirit, or abstract conscious being, through conscious karma, periodically seeks to manifest and wills to work out a purpose under the laws of its own being, and is thus impelled by the attractive quality of its opposite pole, intelligent substance, to blend with it. The meeting of these two polarities and their point of merging causes that flash in the cosmic universe which we call a sun, and results in light or objectivity. Within the ring pass knot, therefore, the electric fire of pure spirit can only manifest through merging or union with electrical substance, and is therefore, during evolution and for the major portion of the process, limited by it. In fact, little as it is realized, the deva evolution controls for the greater portion of manifestation up to the beginning of the transmutative process. They build incessantly the confining form. When the process of transmutation is effected by the five heavenly men, then the whole system is reaching a very high stage of evolution. And with the two schemes which will be entering into the stage of obscuration, the resolving process will commence. The plan, viewed largely, will be as follows. The four schemes which form the logoic quaternary will merge into their synthesizing scheme, that of Saturn, while Venus and Mercury will merge into Uranus and Neptune, page 406. No importance need be attached to the sequence of these names. The dual fact is all that is necessary to grasp. Neptune, Uranus, and Saturn will, therefore, have absorbed the essence of manifestation, and in connection with the solar logos, they correspond to the three permanent atoms in the causal body of a man. We say correspond, for the analogy is not in detail. Uranus and Neptune are reflections of the logoic astral and mental permanent atoms. Saturn is, in fact, the correspondence to the logoic physical permanent atom. This is an occult mystery and must not be separated from its allied truth in the cosmic scheme. Viewing Manas as the vibratory activity of all atoms and narrowing our concept down to our own scheme, it is interesting to note that some correspondences can be traced as we study this fifth principle during the present round, the fourth. The Manasic principle is the basis of the coming into activity and the mental recognition of the following facts in nature. The fifth spirilla within the atom of matter will become active. This fifth spirilla is beginning faintly to vibrate, while the fourth spirilla, in this fourth round, is assuming a vibration that will cause the intense vitalization of the vehicles and eventually bring about the shattering of the form and the subsequent escape of the spirit into a form composed of matter which responds to the vibration of the fifth spirilla. The fourth ether is coming into recognition, and along with it will come the knowledge of the lives which it embodies. Hence the success of spiritualistic endeavor, for the larger number of the average discarnate entities at this stage who are willing to make contact with the physical plane are clothed in matter of this ether. The devas of this ether will also come to be known before the end of this round, and alliance will be made between the fourth creative hierarchy of men and the devas of the fourth ether. Page 407. The fourth plane, the Buddhic, by the aid of Manas, will gradually be realized. This will be done as Manas is transmuted into wisdom. By a few in this round, the fifth principle will be superseded by the principle of Buddhi. Right on from now till the middle of the next round, there will be an overlapping of the four and the five, Manas and the Buddhic principle, thus making the nine, or perfected man, the initiate. It might also be remarked that more and more will the control of the fourth Kumara be evidenced and felt. On this I cannot enlarge, being only permitted to make the statement. The consciousness of the mass of the human family will gradually pass onto the fourth subplane of the mental plane and be more and more controlled by purely concrete mind. Unless this is paralleled by a steady influx of egos onto the Buddhic plane in conscious activity, and thus out of the control of Manas pure and simple, a very serious condition will have to be handled by the hierarchy. The work of the four Maharajas who apportion karma within the ring pass knot will reach its culminating point during the fourth round. In the next round, the work of the Lipikas who handle affairs in connection with our system outside the ring pass knot will become more prominent. This is necessarily so, as the Lipika lords dispense the law to those who have merged themselves with their divine principle and are no longer held by the material forms of the three worlds. The lords of karma, or the Maharajas, work with the sons of men in the three worlds and through a Manasic principle. Page 408. 2. In the system. We have now for consideration some further points on the subject of Manasic development within the system, and then we can proceed to discuss the future of Manas, our final subheading. It will be apparent to all of us that the vastness of the subject and the enormous cycles of time involved tend to obscurity and lack of definiteness. Only the highlights stand out, and only broad general concepts and the impartation of fundamental facts, to the exclusion of detail, are in any way possible in this treatise. Certain ideas stand out clearly against the background of intricate plans, against the apparent confusion caused by the overlapping of cycles, both great and lesser, and against accumulation of chaotic detail. This apparent chaos and even seeming contradiction is the result of our imperfect evolution, the result of our entire lack of perspective incident upon our place in the planetary scheme, and the result of the shortness of our vision. Broad outstanding generalizations are all that we can appreciate at our present stage, and they might be summed up as three in number. Position, or the place of the system within its greater whole, and the corporate nature of all manifestation. This involves the concept of a cosmic system involving lesser systems and holding them together by the power of unified life. A solar system, a portion of that greater system of manifestation, equally involving lesser forms of objectivity and holding them likewise unified by the power of its own life. Page 409. A planetary scheme or subdivision of that solar system. This likewise persists as a unit by itself, yet has no existence apart from other units. Groups or unified bodies within the scheme. These are again individualized, yet at the same time are a part of the greater whole. Congeries or aggregations of cells, the subdivisions of groups. These must be similarly interpreted. The cells or the individualized units within the groups. Each of these is a conscious entity, yet each has no existence apart from its groups. Each of these divisions is characterized by an ensouling life, which, as far as we are concerned, emanates from the one about whom naught may be said, who ensouls the seven solar systems down through the Lord of a solar system, through the cosmic entities we call the heavenly men, and the solar entities ensouling groups, and through that peculiar central manifestation we call a human being, to the little cell within the body of that human being, and the atom, which is the basic material whereof all forms in all the kingdoms of nature are made. Intelligent activity, or the display of purpose or manas, the fifth principle in every type of manifestation. This, as earlier pointed out, is the intelligent plan of the entity concerned, working out in time and space. Power to evolve or progress. This is literally the distinctive ability of the ensouling life within the form to progress intelligently from lower to higher forms of manifestation. This is, above all, the peculiar and perfected attribute of the fifth principle. Capacity to cohere. This is the ability of all intelligent active lives during evolution to conform to the law of attraction and repulsion, and thus form a conscious, intelligent part of a greater life. It is literally the transmutation of manas into wisdom. Page 410. Though all that is exists in form, yet little is as yet brought under the intelligent control of the entity within the form. Only the heavenly men and their superior embracing lives are consciously and intelligently working through and dominating the form, for only they as yet are perfected manas. Beneath them come many grades of consciousness. Man is gradually achieving that conscious control over matter in the three worlds which his divine prototypes, the heavenly men, have already achieved. They are attaining a similar control on higher levels. Below man come many lives who are blind and unconscious of the congery or subdivision of which they form part. Thus can be seen, in general outline, the place of manas at the present stage. Relation. Another outstanding feature that is the result of our studies is that of relation. The realization of this in future years will lead to the study of the different polarities of the different spheres, from a planetary scheme to an atom, within the solar ring pass knot, and of the relation existing between a scheme and the totality of schemes, b scheme and scheme, c chain and chain, d globe and globe, e group and group, f subdivision and subdivision, G, unit and unit, H, cell and cell. Footnote, I use the word unit in connection with all that is in any degree self-conscious or individualized. It must therefore be remembered that this phrase refers to nothing below the human kingdom. Returned text. The interrelation of all these factors and their profound interdependence is one of the most important points for us to grasp. Though this whole relation is governed by the law of attraction and repulsion, and therefore comes more under what we call the second aspect, yet self-consciousness itself is the result of the manasic principle, and the close cooperation between these two factors of mind and love-wisdom, or the two laws of attraction and synthesis, must ever be carefully remembered. Page 411. Limitation. This is a prime factor to be borne in mind in considering a cosmos, a system, a scheme, a chain, or any form of limiting sphere down through them all to the physical atom of the scientist. It presupposes A, capacity beyond that manifested, B, duality, or that which is limited and the limiting substance, C, purpose, for in an ordered scheme of existence, the limitation persists just as long as it is required in order to attain certain ends. It is succeeded by abstraction, occultly understood, and in its literal sense. When these three factors, position, relation, limitation, are studied within the system, the close connection of all the groups within the whole will be evidenced, and the need of each part for all other parts will be brought out. As regards cosmic position, relation, and limitation, little can be said, as even to the heavenly men themselves, the matter is obscure. That this is necessarily so must be apparent when their place in the scheme of things is realized and their relative unimportance is considered. Therefore, we can do no more than accept the fact of the inconceivable magnitude of that existence which is manifesting through seven solar systems, and the extension of this concept of being to embrace the entire vault of the heavens. Page 412. It is interesting to bear in mind in this connection that all that is seen, being objective forms or beings in manifestation through certain spheres of light, may not be all that is, but that there may lie back of everything visible a vast realm or realms of existences. The very brain of man reels in contemplation of such a concept. Yet, just as there are tens of millions of human beings out of objective manifestation, or discarnate, on the subtler planes of the solar system, so there may be cosmic entities in rank equal to the one about whom naught may be said, who are in a similar sense discarnate, and found in realms subtler than that of the manifestation of light. Three, on the earth. A, the five Kumaras. We might now consider briefly the subject of the five Kumaras, who are the sum total of Manas on the earth. I have stated that the Lord of the world, the first Kumara, is the planetary logos of our scheme in physical incarnation. But nowhere has the impression been conveyed that the three Kumaras associated with him are three other planetary logoi. This is in no way the case. These three, called the Buddhas of activity, are but the vicegerents upon our planet of those three planetary logoi, who, with our planetary logos, make the sum total of the logoi quaternary. Associated with them are the three esoteric Kumaras mentioned in the Secret Doctrine, who represent the three other logoi, and so make focal points for all the logoic forces within our chain. In each chain, such representatives are found, six focal points embraced by the seventh, the planetary logos of the scheme, who holds them all within his aura. Page 413. Their work is threefold. First, they are the centers in the body of the planetary logos. Each chain corresponds to one center, and the globes are but the lesser wheels within any particular center. The life of the Logos in this incarnation on the earth is flowing through three centers and beginning to stimulate a fourth. Hence, four globes are involved, and the three Kumaras, so-called for lack of a better term, are vitally, intelligently active. Three are in abeyance, and one is beginning to function.
The globes correspond to the chains. This fourth Kumara is as yet practically unrealized, but as hinted at earlier, his day is about to dawn. Second, they act as transmitters of a particular type of force to those units who go to the content of any particular center. They are, in fact, the agents for the lords of the rays to the monads of any ray in incarnation in any particular chain and on any particular globe. Third, they are the agents for A, the lord of a ray, as stated above, B, the four maharajas, C, the planetary logos of their own scheme, D, the great deva of the earth planet. They work with the law. They are the cognizers of the intelligent purpose of the planetary logos and know his plans. They are the vital activity of the planet, and in a subtle sense they are not only the ray representatives, but likewise the link between the chain and the scheme. It might here be stated that the relative failure that was the fate of the moon chain in our scheme has greatly handicapped their work and made it imperative for them to employ drastic measures in order to offset that failure. Herein lies another clue to the world turmoil. Page 414. B. The moon chain. It might be of interest here if, before passing on to other matters, we took up the very difficult subject of the moon chain and answer certain pertinent questions that may have arisen in the minds of students. The enumeration of the chains and of the schemes, as given in the two charts, is entirely for the present and covers a period comparatively recent, carrying forward the history of evolution to the middle of the next round in our chain. Had we been given the charts embracing pre-Lemurian days and extending back a distance into the, humanly speaking, unfathomable past, we would have seen the moon chain portrayed with the Neptune chain omitted. In the chart, as given, two chains are apparently lacking, the moon chain and the Uranus chain. The reasons are abstruse, but something may be hinted at as follows. The moon chain with the earth chain form two units, or two polarities, negative and positive. The point of merging was reached, and the earth chain absorbed or synthesized the moon chain in the same sense as certain of the schemes will merge until only three will apparently be left. Therefore, the earth chain is essentially dual in its nature, being the sum total of a male and a female chain. This is a mystery impossible to elucidate further, but it is still dealt with in certain occult books and hinted at by HPB. In due course of time, another merging in the scheme will eventuate, and then Uranus, the chain of that name in our scheme, will flash into objectivity. Forget not that the schemes manifest as 7, as 10, as 3 from the angle of the eternal now, or from the point of view of a heavenly man, the manifestation may be written as 3-7. In time and space, the order might be stated to be 7-3-10, and at certain stages, 10-7-3. As the opposites merge, the 10 become the 7 and the 3, and it is during this process that entire chains and globes, and eventually schemes, will apparently vanish from objectivity and drop out of sight. Page 415. They will be simply absorbed. During the twofold process of evolution, it might be numerically expressed as during involution the sequence is seen as 3, then 7, and finally 10. During evolution the sequence is 10, then 7, and finally 3. The involutionary process is over practically, and the evolutionary is approximately midway through. This will be marked by the disappearance or absorption of certain chains as they find their polar opposites, and a simultaneous appearance of the more subtle chains or globes as the monastic principle enables man to see them. The moon chain is in process of disappearance, and only a decaying body is left. The life of the second and the first logos has been withdrawn from it, and only the latent life of matter itself remains. Simultaneously, Neptune arose over the horizon and took its place as one of the seven manifesting chains of the planetary logos. We are here dealing with the Neptune chain of the Earth scheme. The moon chain has in itself a curious occult history not yet to be disclosed. This differentiates it from the other chains in the scheme, and even from any other chain in any scheme. An analogous situation or correspondence will be found in another planetary scheme within the solar system. All this is hidden in the history of one of the solar systems which is united to ours within a cosmic ring pass knot. Hence the impossibility of yet enlarging upon it. Each heavenly man of a scheme is a focal point for the force and power and vibratory life of seven stupendous entities in exactly the same sense as the seven centers in a human being are the focal points for the influence of a corresponding heavenly prototype. Page 416. Our heavenly man, therefore, is esoterically allied to one of the seven solar systems, and in this mysterious alliance is hidden the mystery of the moon chain. Certain brief hints may be given for the due consideration of students. The moon chain was a chain wherein a systemic failure was to be seen. It is connected with the lower principles, which HPB has stated are now superseded. The sexual misery of this planet finds its origin in the moon failure. The progress of evolution on the moon was abruptly disturbed and arrested by the timely interference of the solar logos. The secret of the suffering in the earth chain, which makes it merit the name of the sphere of suffering, and the mystery of the long and painful watch kept by the silent watcher, has its origin in the events which brought the moon chain to a terrific culmination. Conditions of agony and of distress, such as are found on our planet, are found in no such degree in any other scheme. Footnote. It is he again who holds spiritual sway over the initiated adepts throughout the whole world. He is, as said, the nameless one who has so many names and yet whose names and whose very nature are unknown. He is the initiator called the Great Sacrifice, for, sitting at the threshold of light, he looks into it from within the circle of darkness, which he will not cross, nor will he quit his post till the last day of this life cycle. Why does the solitary watcher remain at his self-chosen post? Why does he sit by the fountain of primeval wisdom, of which he drinks no longer? For he has naught to learn which he does not know, aye, neither on this earth nor in its heaven. Because the lonely, sore-footed pilgrims, on their journey back to their home, are never sure, to the last moment, of not losing their way in this limitless desert of illusion and matter called earth life. Because he would fain show the way to that region of freedom and light from which he is a voluntary exile himself, to every prisoner who has succeeded in liberating himself from the bonds of flesh and illusion. Because, in short, he has sacrificed himself for the sake of mankind, though but a few elect may profit by the great sacrifice. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 229. Return to text. Page 417. The misuse of the vibratory power of a certain center and the perversion or distortion of force to certain erroneous ends, not along the line of evolution, account for much of the moon mystery. Certain results, such as the finding of its polar opposite, were hastened unduly on the moon chain, and the consequence was an uneven development and a retardation of the evolution of a certain number of deva and human groups. The origin of the feud between the Lords of the Dark Face and the Brotherhood of Light, which found scope for activity in Atlantean days and during the present root race, can be traced back to the moon chain. We have here all that is possible to give out at this time and much that has hitherto not been permitted publication. It is necessary again to emphasize the need of attaching no importance to the names of the chains and globes, and the necessity of a numerical enumeration. At the same time, should the student decide to number the chains and globes, he must carefully bear in mind that the sequence of numbers has no reference or relation to place or time, nor to sequence of appearance or order of manifestation. End of side 2, cassette number 9, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 417. Continued on cassette number 10.